This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Morning Run. You're here with Lynn Mark Roshankanasan and Wong Xiaoning. 7:48 a.m. Friday, the 20th of November. And recently, Kuala Lumpur has seen a spike in new cases, new COVID-19 cases from the Damanlela construction site cluster in Damansara. Now, positive cases there now stand at over 1,000. And Health Ministry Director General Tan Sri Dr. Nur Hisham Abdullah said the bulk of them were from the dormitories of foreign workers.
Yeah, this is quite similar to what happened in Singapore back in April when they faced a massive COVID-19 outbreak in the dormitories of migrant workers. At the time, the Singapore government fenced off 4 dormitories containing 50,000 workers, in effect, in a way to, I think, prevent the community spread from going into the local population. This construction cluster raises an ongoing debate over the effectiveness of SOPs within the construction sector. And I guess the other questions include, how will Malaysia protect its labour force made up of over 6 million migrant employees? When will migrant workers be provided basic human rights like health and provision and safety and livable living conditions? All questions and more, and I think we're going to get into some of them today.
Indeed. So to weigh in on this, we have on the line with us Dr. Tharani Loganathan, a public health specialist at the Department of Social and Preventive Medicine at the University of Malaya. Dr. Tharani, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Now, the COVID-19 construction clusters are reminiscent of what happened in Singapore last April. Did Malaysia, like Singapore, segregate migrant workers from the rest of the population in the policies rolled out to battle COVID-19?
Good morning. Malaysia and Singapore are both highly dependent on migrant labour, but our situations have vital differences. So, you know, Singapore is a highly controlled island nation. The 1.5 million workers in Singapore are basically all documented, and their cases have been largely confined to dormitories only, and that's easier to monitor and control. Okay, Malaysia, our migrant worker population is somewhat larger. 3 to 6 million, estimated 2 million documented. And this population is heterogeneous with different living and working conditions. They do not all live in dormitories. So Malaysia's strategies have been totally different. We've been having targeted measures, our EMCOs, quarantines only in places where there are clusters of cases. The Singapore method worked in Singapore because cases were basically in dormitories. Migrant workers were quarantined in dormitories, separated from the rest of the population, allowed healthy workers were allowed out with vigorous testing. So testing was done prior to return to work and every 2 weeks. Okay, so it's regular routine testings. Okay, so not done in Malaysia.
So what should a broader SOP look like when it comes to the living conditions of migrant and local workers living in dormitories?
First of all, migrant workers in Malaysia especially live in conditions that can be described as overcrowded, unhygienic and unsanitary. This kind of conditions actually makes following SOPs impossible. Okay, so it makes these conditions make physical distancing and hygiene impossible. So if you're sharing beds and you don't have separate bedding, it is impossible to be hygienic and space is not enough. Basically, that's easy spread for COVID. So we also must understand the housing situation is very different in different industries, depending on the size of the company, whether labor is outsourced or not, whether the workers are documented or undocumented, whether the workplace is actually urban or it's rural in a plantation and so on. So it's very different. So physical space is important and the conditions where they live is important before we think about SOPs.
So then I guess, you know, it seems that a kind of a measure of responsibility needs to fall on employers to ensure that their workers are safe and healthy because it's dependent so much on the specific industry that they're in. So, you know, what are your thoughts on that? And how could these employers be made accountable for their actions?
So thankfully, there has actually been recent amendments to the Workers' Minimum Standards and Housing Amenities Act 1990. That's the Act 446. And that requires employers to provide minimum standards for accommodation and amenities. Basically, minimum requirements for spacing, for beds, bedding provided for each individual worker, you know, common areas, minimal standards for shared toilets, washing facilities, cooking facilities, dining facilities, those kind of things. So this act came in force in June and was enforced from September. And prior to this, I mean, the 1990 Act was only covered for plantation, large plantations in the mining industry. So now it would affect all sectors. Okay, the only issue was the Ministry of Human Resources decided to defer enforcement of the new rules going towards soft measures, more into emphasis on education and encouragement to comply, which is all fine, but we're in the middle of a pandemic. So I think the government needs to actually persuade employers to comply, as it is an economically unsound strategy to have COVID among workers. You know what happens? They shut down factories and it's a loss of business. So employers have to look at it as a long-term investment.
Beyond that, though, if we don't take up this issue now, it may further delay the flattening of the pandemic curve. And I know you did address that it's coming down to talking to employers about the importance of this. But is there anything else that the government can do better in this situation? Does enforcement come to mind?
Yes. So enforcement, the mechanisms are there. Okay. Yeah, I do understand that the fines can reach up to 50,000 ringgit. Okay. I do understand that the government would not want to take harsh measures and suppress industries, but we need to actually work together and make sure it's a good solution for everybody. Okay, migrant health is complex. There are many agencies involved. It's not just under the jurisdiction of Ministry of Health. So we have to consider health in all policies, including things like labor, housing, workplaces, and so on. Multi-sectoral cooperation is necessary.
Thank you very much for speaking with us this morning, Dr. Tharani. That was Dr. Tharani Loganathan, Public Health Specialist at the Department of Social and Preventive Medicine at the University of Malaya, talking to us about kind of the situation that faces particularly migrant workers when they are living in dormitories in crowded conditions. Shanning, what were your thoughts as well on the conversation with Dr. Tharani?
I think the main point is that she rightly pointed out that there are many government agencies involved in resolving this issue, right? So it's not just a Ministry of Health issue, it's labor, housing, all need to get involved. And you need to coordinate with the company, you need to talk to the migrant laborers, explain to them the importance of these SOPs in the language that they understand and in a manner that they understand. Because only then will you have, I guess, 100% enforcement with regards to these SOPs.
Yeah, you know, this is something that it needs to be managed, right? And I guess engagement is important, but also just, I think, clearer SOPs. You know, right now we're hearing things about wristbands, just more clarity of all of that, I guess.
Absolutely. And so this is something that we're going to be keeping a very close watch on as we head into this next normal. But before we head into the news, a quick note for you here. Without clinical research, we wouldn't see new and effective treatments that improve outcomes for prostate and other urological cancers. But this is not something we often talk about. So where is Malaysia when it comes to leading research in the field? What are the challenges that lie ahead? We find out from Professor Dr. Adiba Kamarul Zaman, Dean of the Faculty of Medicine at University of Malaya, and Professor Dr. Ong Ting Ek, Consultant Urologist from University Malaya Medical Centre. Tune in to Health and Living on Monday, the 23rd of November at 4 p.m. for more. But right now, we're about to head into the 8 o'clock news bulletin, and after that, the Breakfast Grill, where I'll be speaking with Daryl Fong of AquaWalk Group. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.